Blog Talk Radio.
Transgressions are the breaking of the law, your sin or crime is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Amen. And I feel that way. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth. Imputeth means to clear up. None, not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Guile means deceit or being cunning. Verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. I guess his roaring, I won't guess what that is. Verse 4. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto you and my iniquity. Iniquity is also sins or misdeeds. Have I not hid? I said, I will confess my transgressions. Those again are sins or crimes. Breaking of the law unto the Lord, and you forgave it the iniquity of my sins. Verse 6, for in this shall every one that is godly pray unto you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come near unto you. And let me just say this word, Gilgamesh. I hope that I will remember to tell you about it after, or what little I know about it, after I finish reading this Psalms. Verse 7, you are my hiding place. You shall preserve me. Preserve means to keep me from trouble. You shall compass. Compass means to surround me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with mine eye. Thank you and amen to that. Be you not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. All right? Whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. That's a little golden bar, the bit that's in the horse's mouth, and the bridle, two straps are somehow joined to that, and that's what guides the mule or the horse, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle. Less means otherwise they come near unto you. Verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. Amen for that. I hope I'm not wicked. I try not to be. But he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Again, you know that compass means to surround you. Verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. I have finished reading to you in its entirety, Psalms 32. I pray that our Heavenly Father will give us an understanding of what has been read. As well, you can always go into your Bible and find Psalms. It's spelled Psalms 32, and read it for yourselves. And, of course, you can always come to Blog Talk Radio and find it. My program is called The Feed My Sheep Show. I will introduce myself in one moment. Now, I mentioned Gilgamesh earlier when I was reading Psalms 32, verse 6. And it says that for in this day everyone that is godly will pray unto you, in a time when you mayest be found. Surely in the floods. And that's what my reference is about, Gilgamesh and the floods. When I was back in school, and I told you I did not finish college, my college education, even in my 60s, I intend to go back, hopefully this next semester, though I want to go to a school in the South. I really want to graduate from one of the seven black schools. The word Gilgamesh. Now, I had graduated from high school and gone on to the community college and then into the university I was accepted in. And this is where I learned about Gilgamesh. My professor says that he was teaching this to his 11th grade students. I forget the well-known school that he taught. But he said he was teaching it. His 11th graders knew about this. And here it is. I have graduated from Detroit Public Schools and gone on to the community college. And I had never heard about Gilgamesh. But I'm going to tell you so that you will have one up on those who perhaps have graduated from Detroit Public Schools and not heard of Gilgamesh. That is spelled G-I-L-G-A-M-E-S-H. Now, what I can remember is that It's from Mesopotamia. I think Mesopotamia is now called Turkey. Have your pens and pencils ready, because I'm telling you this. You may not know this. Mesopotamia is no longer, I don't know why they changed their name, but it has been changed from a Mesopotamia, and I think that's around Turkey. It's Mesopotamia is spelled Mesopotamia. And Gilgamesh is a Sumerian literature. It's an epic poem. It's about the great floods. Now, I knew about the great floods in the book of, I think it's Genesis, where they talk about, Noah talks about the great flood. So I knew about it then. But I want you sheep to know, don't be unknowing as I was when I was trying to get an education, and I still need to finish it. Remember, Gilgamesh, look it up on your computers if you are able to, and if not, go to the library and find it in a book. It is a literature, not literature poem, an epic poem. That's E-P-I-C, poem, P-O-E-M. It's called Gilgamesh. It's about the flood. And this flood was about, I think it was written maybe 15,000 years before the Bible was written. So I'm thinking that the flood came before the Bible was written. And I'm glad it's in there. The flood story is in the Bible. Again, Gilgamesh is spelled G-I-L-G-A-M-E-S-H. And I pray that I will be able to post this on the computer. Last Sabbath, I was not able to post what I had said on the computer. Now, see, what I'm trying to do is find a lesson for today. We will be reading from John chapter 8. But nonetheless, before we start reading, let us have a word of prayer to our Heavenly Father. Let us never forget our Father in heaven, or Jesus, who saved us from the sins of this world, if we abide in His words. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Father. Thank you. I thank you and I praise you. I come thanking you and praising you and asking you for the different changes, and thanking you for the different changes in my life as well as other sheep lives who are in need since the beginning, since we have become slaves. And thank you for allowing us to realize, even though they allege we are free in the United States of America, but there still need to be a change. We need to know that we're free. Anytime we have someone ruling over us and go and poison a city with water, telling them to get off the Detroit water and put them on the Flint water, and no one, not even Congress of the United States, have punished them for poisoning those people who look like you and I, Heavenly Father. Their skin is brown. Their hair is like wool, most of them, majority of the people in Flint. They have done nothing, but it's the enemy. And I thank you for waking my eyes and sharing it with the public who the enemy is, because for a long time I did not know. I got into my 60s and was saying, no, they're not the enemy, but now there's proof. They have proven to me who the enemy is, and that is the Idumean, the Edomite, better known as the white man. Father, I thank and praise you for the awesome things that you have done and that you will do for me and my loved ones and all of us lost sheep. We thank you for restoration, for restoring us lost sheep to our own glory, to the glory that you beset upon us, and opening our eyes and our mind to who the enemy is and who we are in you, Heavenly Father. I come asking you to bless us, lost sheep, for unity among ourselves and to stop killing one another with the guns and the things that the enemy has made for us to kill up ourselves. As well, they have, the policemen who are killing us, they do not put in jail for their misdeeds. They send them on vacations and give them big money just for killing us. Father, I thank you for turning the tide around and start, killing them. Father, I thank and praise you for keeping natural and chemical disasters away from us in Detroit, Michigan, your blessed city, and away from us who are in the United States who look like you. I ask that you remove the enemy from this city, our city, who have sent in an emergency manager. I ask that you take them out and let them rule themselves wherever you send them. Let's get them out of Detroit starting today. I pray that you remove all of our enemies from this city and all the black communities where they have sent an emergency manager. And as always, Heavenly Father, I thank you for blessing us lost sheep with sane, sound mind and excellent health. I say this prayer in Yeshua's name, also known as Jesus. Amen. Now, sheep, thank you for listening to my prayer. Now, last Sabbath, my program was not posted. At least that is what came up on the screen after I was about to turn it, my screen off. My screen, I'm talking about the screen that I have on Blog Talk Radio. Today, we will be talking about an adulteress faces the light of the world. And if you don't know who the light is Jesus. The light is Jesus, who brings us understanding and knowledge. If you read this Bible, you will begin to understand as I have and be on the same page as I am in following what our Father Jesus has taught us. And I think Jesus was so smart to leave us this Bible. This Bible is about us black people, and we ought to read this so that we can get our freedom. It will tell you about this in John chapter 8, verse 32. I pray that I keep reading that and read all of John chapter 8. But sometimes when I get started, I will talk about everything except what I need to. Father, keep me focused and let me read all of what is in John chapter 8 this moment in time. I pray that prayer. Amen. Let's start reading John chapter 8. You'll find that in the New Testament of the Bible. Let's start in verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came unto the temple, and the people came unto him, and he sat down. Maybe this is what our pastors need to do. Excuse me, I'm having to burp. Instead of standing up in the pulpit perhaps they need to sit down, as in John chapter 8, verse 1, as Jesus is doing, and teach them. It says, and he sat down and taught them. Verse 3, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst means in the middle or the center. Now, adultery means having sex, having an extramarital affair. You know, you're not faithful to your husband or wife. One of you is not faithful, the man or the woman. Verse 4. Well, now you know that they've already set her, they brought her to Jesus and set her in the midst of the church, in the middle of the center. Verse 4. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Well, where is the man? I ask myself. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that she should be stoned. But what says you? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Well, this right here makes me think that the church, because he had gone into the temple in verse 2 to teach them. And I'm thinking that the temple did not have a floor of wood or stone, but it was built, there was dirt there. Because it says that, right here it says that Jesus stooped down and with his finger and wrote on the ground. Let's go to verse 7. So when they continued asking him, that him is Jesus, he is Jesus, lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Again, I'm thinking there is no, I have not read that he went out of the side of the church. It says that he stooped down on the ground and he's writing with his finger. And they, verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted, well, they found themselves guilty by their own conscience. And when they thought about it, they said, I'm guilty, I cannot throw a stone at her. Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Now, I'm thinking that those who went out of the temple were the scribes and the Pharisees who brought the woman caught in adultery to Jesus. That's what I'm thinking. They went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. The midst again means in the middle or the center. And the ones that left with the who were accusing her were, in my mind, the Pharisees as well as the scribes. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those? Where are your accusers? Have no man condemned you? Condemn means to punish or to throw a rock at her. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn or punish you. Go and sin no more. Verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. And so, what is darkness? Darkness is not knowing who our Heavenly Father is, or those who do not follow the rules of our Heavenly Father. And I am obedient, being obedient to our Heavenly Father, because He told me years and years ago to feed His sheep, and I did not have the courage to do it. Now I'm doing it. I think that it's because I'm getting older and growing closer to my 70s and 80s that I want to become obedient, because the next thing for me is to go to our Heavenly Father. That is to make my transition with the ancestors. But I pray that I will not, until it's my time to go. As Jesus says, His time is not yet. And I'm thinking that my time is not yet. I've prayed for another at least 50 plus years on this earth, walking in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let me read verse 12 again to you, sheep. And those of you who are not sheep and are listening, I thank you all for listening, because you could be doing something else on your holy day, your Sabbath day. You've gotten that confused. Oh, as a matter of fact, let me read verse 12. And then go back and introduce myself. I forget to introduce myself several times. Verse 12. We are in chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that is what we want. Listen up, sheep. This is the Feed My Sheep show. I am Sandra Harris, your host. Happy Sabbath day, everyone. The only day in the Bible that tells you to keep holy and rest. Read it for yourselves. You'll find it in Exodus chapter 20. That's where the Ten Commandments are. And I want you to read the fourth commandment, where it tells you to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, and to rest. The seventh day of the week, the seventh day, S-E-V-E-N, Saturday, is the Sabbath day to our Heavenly Father. It has been changed by someone named Constantine. That's spelled C-O-N-S-T-A-N-T-I-N-E, I think. I'm not for sure, but that's his name. I want you to look it up. I want you sheep to know this about the Sabbath. You are to keep it holy and rest. I read from the King James Version of the Bible. In Sabbath day, observance starts on Friday evening and ends on Saturday evening, the Sabbath day. I want you sheep to have your pencil, your three P's, and I tell you those are your pen, paper, and pencil, so that if I say anything, you can write it down and refer to it later on yourself, like I have spelled out Constantine, C-O-N-S-T-A-I-N-E. I think that's how it's spelled. I'm not for sure. But I want you, sheep, to look up Constantine, as well as I had told you to look something else up when I was reading Psalms. I think it was Gilgamesh, G-I-L G-A-M-E-S-H. So you will learn something that I learned when I got to the university. So I read from the King James Version of the Bible. I want you to have your pen, pencil, and paper. Those are your three P's handy. Okay, I think I've introduced myself. Now, this portion where I start reading, I just introduced that my seventh year. I'm going into my seventh year of reading as the Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father in a dream told me to feed his sheep. I want you sheep to go back and listen to my first reading on Blog Talk Radio. I explained to you all why I called it the Feed My Sheep Show and why it is that I'm doing this. It's just that in my later years of life, I have become obedient to my Heavenly Father. That's because I've caught enough hell on this earth. And when it's time for me to go, I want my spirit to go to our Heavenly Father. I think you'll find that in Ecclesiastes 12, chapter 12, verse 6, where a spirit goes to our Heavenly Father and our body goes back to the ground, to the dirt that it was made of. Let's pick up at verse 13, and I need to stay focused so I can finish this reading. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, "You bearest record of yourself. Your record is not true." Verse 14, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, my record is true. For I know whence," and whence means from what place I came, "and whither," and whither means where, "I go. But you cannot tell whence," that is, "from what place I come and whither, where I go." Verse 15, "You judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in the law that the testimony of two men are true." So Jesus' testimony is of him, himself, and the Father. So those are the two who bear testimony of Jesus himself and the Father that sent him. Verse 18, "I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me." Verse 19, "Then said they unto him, Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also." These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whether I go," that is, "where I go, to that place I go, you cannot come." Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself? Because he said, Whither, where I go, you cannot come." And he said unto them, "You are from beneath." And that reminds me of the book that I wrote that's called The Unseen. You can purchase it on Amazon.com in an ebook form. Excuse me, Father, for not continuing. Let me stay focused on reading your word. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Verse 24. I said, therefore, unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So sheep, let us not die in our sins. Let's believe on Jesus. Verse 25. Then said they unto him, who are you? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say unto you and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Verse 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, excuse me, I feel like I want to burp. And I did. Excuse me, Heavenly Father, because you and Jesus are my invited guests, as well as these other people who are listening, your sheep who are listening. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words. Many believed on him. Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Indeed, and that's what I am doing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the courage to continue in your word. Verse 32, that is because I am one of your disciples. I just found that out. That's news to me. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that's what I was talking about earlier. The truth, let's read our Bibles. The truth will make you free. If I had not started reading my Bible back 7 years ago in Revelation, I would not know that Jesus, I think it's Revelation 1, chapter 1, maybe verse 13 and 14, that Jesus looks like me. His hair is made of wool, and his skin tone is brown. Jesus, there's nowhere in the Bible where it says it looks like the white man, which we have been led to believe. Let me continue. Let me stay focused. Read your Bible, sheep, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we never in bondage to any man, but we are now. How say you, we shall be made free? They didn't know what he was talking about in that time, but since we have been in bondage a few times, we were in bondage in Egypt, and now we're still in bondage in the United States. If we were governing ourselves, we would clear up that water in Flint, Michigan, and go on about other business. It would not be so, and those who had caused it would be in jail. I was about to say with someone else, but I'm not. Let me read on, because I don't have much time. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whom whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth, that is, stay in or remain, not in the house forever, but the son abideth, that is, stay in or remain forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word have no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Verse 40. But now you speak to kill. Now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. He did not. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't hear every word of our Father from heaven. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. They're saying that Jesus' mother had sex without marriage, and that's, they're calling him born of fornication. We have the one Father, even God. Fornication means sex out of marriage. I've lost my space. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if you were your, and let me do verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceedeth, I've come forth, and come to you from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. He's telling the people, God sent me. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? And I say that sometimes. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? Even because you cannot hear my words. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your fathers you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. And when I read about being he was a murderer, I think about the acts where in the United States they say you can abort your children. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow, he's the father of lies. And I don't have time to finish. I'm going to stop here at verse 45, and we will pick that up next Sabbath if God allows me to live. Oh, Jesus, I didn't finish what I wanted to. Let's have a closing word of prayer. Our Father, we your lost sheep who you have found. Thank you and rejoice that you have put us back into your fold. And we thank you for your love. And we appreciate you for your constant protection from the evil one. Now, we have an app. Affirmation, and that is a declaration that unity that's found in Psalms 133. And next Sabbath, because I was cut, my last Sabbath program was cut off, I will bring to you what I will tell you about the Dred Scott decision. Read Justice T-A-N-E-Y, dated 1857, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Until then, take our Heavenly Father with you everywhere you go. And if it's God's will, I will be back with you next Sabbath. Thank you, Jesus. Now my strong won't go. Now it's going.
Salvation.